podcast of Do You Know the Mob? I'm your co-host, Samuel Bratton, and we are back. We're in fantasy football season. He left for a year, not because of a suspension, but on his own terms. It's the one and only
Brandon Ellis, folks, and I do believe I finished third that one year, but I am not on my way to doing that this year.
Brandon, as you can tell, I'm not in my normal house sitting. I'm dog sitting, and you won't believe this dog's name. I'm watching a dog named Pancake.
Ooh, I do enjoy a good pancake.
What the most white person thing to do, name a dog after food. You gotta love it. But Brandon, for fantasy folks, what the big challenge is this year, for those of you that don't know, guys have, like Brandon and I, apparently have too much time on our hands. So we do this league of made up teams in NFL, and then we make the last place person do an embarrassing challenge because we're sick and weird and we think it's funny. So
oh, you gotta have some enjoyment in life.
And it's not about being first. It's usually just about not being in last. So Brandon, that what's the challenge true. For this year?
This year's challenge, folks, you must take one and only this nice big teddy bear on a fancy date. Just the two of you. And Olive Garden is preferred. You must buy a meal for the teddy bear and sit there and enjoy. Now, Sam has advised that he may also be at that restaurant just watching.
I might be ordering dessert for the two of them because the teddy bear's got to eat too, right, Brandon?
Oh, yeah. You can't be stingy on a date.
I mean, it's important to pay for your date. It's food. So, Brandon, some of the other last place challenges we've seen in fantasy football, I wanted to read them to you. One of them I see here is body waxing.
Ooh. Ooh, painful.
Brandon, you know about the Waffle House Challenge. What's that?
The Waffle House Challenge, folks, is where you go spend 24 hours at the fancy Waffle House, but you get to take an hour off for each waffle you consume.
Can't think of a better way to spend a Saturday. last place could get a tattoo. Ooh. Do a stand-up comedy at an open mic night. Take the SAT and ACT, which I've seen this before, and that's not a cheap thing to do.
I have taken my fair share of those.
I'm pretty sure it's like $120 or something at least.
Pricey.
There's like do karaoke night, and then I also see personalized license plate. So many different good ones. Brandon, if you hopefully this won't happen to you, but if you were to get last place in fantasy football, which we moved up to 14 teams this year, so you think the odds would be better, but what would be your dinner go-to place you'd be rooting for?
Ooh, I don't know. You know, I got a couple options. Carrabba's is a nice fancy. Which is not fancy.
Now, Brandon, did I hear you've been getting into cycling lately or mountain biking?
Well, yes, Sam, and it's been way more fun than I thought it would be. I've always done road biking, but I recently was given a mountain bike for free, and I do love free things. But, you know, before I was getting into this, people say, you know, you got to have a good helmet, you got to have knee pads, some loose clothing. One of the things they didn't tell me was shoes. Mm. Well, Sam, I got off work today, and I was so excited to get to the mountain bike slopes that I forgot shoes.
Oh. Shoes? You brought your shoes?
Yeah, I know. It seemed obvious. But the logical thing would be today, I'm not going to go mountain biking. Which I promptly said, nope, I'm going to go mountain biking. And it was going great until about 20 minutes in when a guy saw me without shoes on. He said, I had a buddy that was mountain biking 2 weeks ago. He had a stick go through his shoe between his toes.
Oh, that's horrible. Like, speared it. Brandon, did you go to like Tannery Knob or somewhere kind of close to your house?
It was actually Tannery Knob's.
I feel like, I mean, I'm not saying it would have been the most fun thing to do, but it's not like you were an hour away from your house or anything.
Hannah was running and I had about 25 minutes to bike, so I used all of
them. Oh, okay. You're utilizing your time. Well, Brandon, next time, hopefully it goes better. So you had no shoes on, and I didn't know you had a mountain bike. Did you buy that, or?
Oh, this was a recent development. It was given to me last week.
Oh, boy. Sometimes I worry about you. We won't get into you and Corey getting hit by cars while running. We won't go into that right now.
We don't need details.
So, Brandon, I think this week's trivia, I think it's going to be in your wheelhouse. Because I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but you grew up hunting, right? Hunting and fishing?
Yeah. No, we went hunting. We've done quite a bit of small game all the way up to deer.
Well, this one's going to be hunting trivia, okay? So I want you to name for me the top 10 animals that are hunted in the U.S. So like the biggest hunting seasons, basically. What animals are most hunted?
Okay, so like the most hunted during their seasons and the amount of it. So, okay. Mm-hmm. All right, so I got some answers because the amount, because obviously if like black bear hunting, there's not as many permits given out for that.
Interesting. I didn't even think. See, I grew up a city boy, so I didn't even think of that observation. Plus, they're pretty big and probably only so many of them.
Oh, yeah. No, not in Oklahoma, they only give out a few of them. But anyway, I'm ready to go. All right. So I'm going to go white tail deer, quail, dove. I'm going to go ahead and say squirrel. Some states are different. Squirrel hunting. I'm going to go rabbit. I'll go rabbit. Okay. Cottontail, rat. I'll say rabbit. That's probably. The tricks are for kids. Let's see. Besides that, we'll go black-tail deer hunting. I'll throw mule deer in there as well, mostly because I don't know. I'll throw elk because I don't know again. So I got two more.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably a goose in there. I'm going to throw a goose, even though it's probably kind of cheating. And then for my last one, I am going to do... I'll throw coyote hunting in there. Coyote. That's probably, I'm not sure. That's my answer.
So an honorable mention is number 11 is actually bears.
Oh.
But so you're okay because it wasn't top 10. But number 10, prairie chicken. Mm. Number 9, elk. Number 8, geese. You named the geese. Number 7, quail. Number 6, doves, dove hunting. Number 5, ducks. Number 4, rabbits or hare. Number 3, is squirrel hunting. Number 2, did you say wild turkey?
I did not. Oh, I forgot turkey.
Can't forget the Thanksgiving meal. And number 1, deer at 8.1 million a year.
Sam, I think I got 7 of those.
I'm proud of you.
That's the best I've ever done.
Well, you know, we all have our strengths, and yours is random knowledge of U.S. presidents and hunting. No in between.
One of my best friends growing up, and we still hang out quite often when I go back home, goes on an annual hunt for, like, elk every year.
I have yet to go hunting. Maybe I need to change that, Brandon. Maybe I need to change that. You know, didn't you learn in college frog gigging? Did I make that up, or did you?
Oh, I knew that way before college.
Oh, of course. People were thinking, what kind of college did they go to?
Well, in Oklahoma, we have a lot, but I think I tried to get you to go with me one time.
Well, we can make that happen eventually. I'm surprised that wasn't part of your bachelor party, Brandon.
Should have been.
But whitewater rafting, taking frogs. So, Brandon... folks, Brandon mentioned to me before the episode that he was almost known every outlaw we've done because Brandon knows random stuff. So I'm going to keep trying to trip him up. So today is we're going to do Jim Miller, a.k.a. Killer Miller.
I may be stumped. I may remember him at some point, but man, Sam, you may have caught me.
Well, we'll see as we read it through, but he was born in 1861, so that might be helping us a little bit, or helping me trick you a little bit. Another nickname he's had, which is very opposite, is Deacon Jim Miller.
So. Ooh, I may have heard of this guy in a podcast from like 3 years ago, but we'll find out in a minute.
Well, now this podcast is doing
this
it.
This podcast.
So Jim, a.k.a. Killer Miller. Oh, you got to love it or not love it. James Brown Miller was born on October 25th, 1861 in Van Buren, Arkansas.
Hey.
Hey, yo. Have you been there?
I've been there.
I feel like random towns in Arkansas that I almost don't believe exist. I'm just like, hey, Brandon, have you driven through there? And you're like, yeah. So when he was just a year old, he and his family moved to Texas in 1862. Jim's father was a stonemason and helped build the first Capitol building in Austin. Well, that's a random fact for you.
Wow.
However,
how can this go wrong?
Well, I'll tell you what went wrong. Eventually, his father, whose name was Jacob, died when Jim was just 8 years old. Some accounts said something about Jim killing his grandparents, but that has never been proven true. But let me tell you, Brandon, that is not a rumor I would like spread about myself.
Yeah, and if someone's saying that about you, you have questions about your character.
And the character is going to keep going. So in 1880, Jim's sister married a man who he did not get along with. 4 years later, Jim Miller was convicted for murdering him with a shotgun blast during his sleep.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. The conviction was released later. As they say, Brandon, innocent till proven guilty. But so far, I'm hearing 0-2, right? Or I'm hearing two scary things already. But
yeah, maybe you can't prove it, but we got some questions.
Your reputation, what is it they say? Your reputation precedes you. So 4 years later, afterward, Miller hooked up with an outlaw gang in San Saba County, Texas. They were robbing trains and stagecoaches. What a surprise. Often killing in the process. I feel like stagecoach robbery and train robbery and outlaws kind of just goes hand in hand at this point.
It's a hand in hand situation.
Mm-hmm. It's all part of the business. He also purchased a 1/2 interest in a salon. At that time, he embarked on a career as an assassin, casually proclaiming that he would murder anyone for money.
Oh my gosh.
Now, you might be wondering, Brandon, what is his price range in this niche market? Anywhere from $150 to $2,000. So, you know, Brandon, I like to think I would at least be in the upper hundreds. But, you know,
that's a lot of coin back in the day.
If you're going to take me out, I just want to be worth it. In his newfound career, he eventually earned a reputation for getting the job done quickly and efficiently, usually using a shotgun ambush at night.
efficient.
Yeah. In appearance, Miller was a mild-mannered man. He never cursed, didn't drink or smoke, well-dressed, usually wore a collar, white shirt, a stick pin, lapel, diamond ring, and a coat, regardless of how hot it was. I think this is where he kind of developed the nickname Deacon. He was would attend church and read the Bible. So I know, very backwards to what we would think someone would be like, but you know, all the nickname. So he was not a fast draw gunfighter like many other men in the West, but he was quick to use a gun when it suited him, I would have guessed. In addition to killing for hire, he was also known to have killed several men in saloons where arguments would erupt over poker games. There's got to be some weird history thing to just the saloons and how those always went down. Poker games, alcohol, and shooting. But all in a good Friday night for Brandon and I. But
oh, yeah.
In 1882, Jim was arrested and disarmed in Santa Saba. So he moved counties where he worked as a cowboy. He met a lady in 1888 named Sally Clements. They would have 4 children together. Miller then drifted through New Mexico and into West Texas. He was hired as a sheriff's deputy in Pecos, Texas. He was hired to a young sheriff who was desperate for helping named Bud Frazier. Once Jim was hired, it seemed that the castle rustling and horse theft increased as Miller never captured anybody. Then Jim Miller killed a Mexican man who he knew for stealing mules and was hiding them. Frazier had to fire Miller, and this started a Frazier-Miller feud. Okay, so this is very important, this story. Miller opposed Frazier in the next sheriff election, but lost. Then he became the marshal. So obviously, when you lose an election, you should go for the state marshal, right?
Go for a position above.
Yeah. Jim Miller hired gunslingers, and they devised a plan to assassinate their political enemy at a railroad station.
Oh, no.
They were going to try to make it look like an accident. I'm sure. Just ironic.
I got shot.
However, word got out to Frazier. Frazier contacted the Texas Rangers. So at the train station, they were arrested for conspiracy, but later released. Brandon, we've mentioned the Texas Rangers when it came to some of the mobsters we did way in the beginning of this, but can you give us a quick rundown on the history of the Texas Rangers?
Oh, yeah. And Sam, like anyone that watched Chuck Norris growing up, I did love the Texas Rangers. So the Rangers were founded in 1823 when Stephen F. Austin, known as the father of Texas, employed 10 men to act as Rangers to protect 600 to 700 newly settled families who arrived in the then Mexican-controlled Texas. So early Rangers fought in the Mexican War of Independence, skirmished with Native Americans, and fought in the Mexican-American War. However, after this period, they were disbanded, but were brought back to life shortly before the Civil War, and which they fought in the Civil War as well. So after that war, they continued their role primarily fighting Native Americans. The Apache supposedly dreaded the Texas Rangers, whose guns were always loaded and whose aim was unerring. They slept in the saddle and ate while they rode, or done without. When they took up the trail, they followed it determinedly, doggedly, day and night, as a quote. ...1896 to prevent the illegal heavyweight prize fight. According to the story, McDonald's train was met by the mayor, who asked the single ranger where the other lawmen were. And McDonald responded by saying, "Hell, ain't I enough? There's only one prize fight." Which I thought was awesome. Sam, a few of the Rangers, there's been a few really big crimes or things they've solved through the years. So a few of those were the arrest of Sam Bass, tracking down John Wesley Hardin to Florida and arresting him. And also, which I didn't know before this story, they thwarted an assassination attempt on President Taft. Oh. But the story we've talked about here, Sam, was the arrest of Bonnie and Clyde, which they were instrumental in.
Yeah, and they also kind of came up helping with, I think, Dillinger, or at least maybe guys that used to be Texas Rangers, I should say. Just a very, another interesting reputation, I would say better reputation, for the most part. So after this situation, Brandon, where they, you know, Jim and his buddies were arrested, Jim was stripped of his marshal job and he decided to do the next logical thing. He bought a hotel.
Hey, transition.
You know, this guy, he does it all. I'll give him that. He does it all.
Oh yeah.
So he started living an honest life, but Bud Frazier couldn't stand what had happened. They eventually walked past each other on the street. They yelled insults at each other. Frazier opened fire on Miller by striking his arm. Miller returned fire but missed and hit a nearby citizen.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Then Bud emptied his chamber into Miller's chest. Jim Miller survived, as he always wore a breast metal plate.
What?
Well, you know, sometimes you just want to say, like, or is that guy paranoid? But apparently, that was pretty smart of him.
Sounds like it.
A few years later, the two went their separate ways. But again, they met randomly. And Frazier shot Miller again in the chest. When Miller didn't die, because he had the plate on, still, Frazier was confused and ran off scared.
What?
Yeah. John Wesley Hardin actually came down to file charges against Bud Frazier. Very ironic how this is all. Yeah, because remember, John Wesley Hardin was a lawyer for a little bit.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. But the charges were dropped because Hardin died soon after. Another man important to the story is Barney Riggs. He was related to Bud Frazier and helped get Jim Miller arrested originally. Miller seeks his revenge on Barney Riggs by having his two buddies go into a bar and try to shoot him dead. When they did so, it backfired as Riggs shot both of them. Killed them both.
Nice.
Yep, that's what I'm calling revenge. But Miller finally got his real revenge. In 1896, Frazier was playing cards in the saloon when Miller busted in and opened both chambers, blasting his head off his body.
Oh, my gosh.
This is the, like, definition of a feud. Like,
Old West feud just coming out.
So Miller was acquitted because he had done no worse than Frazier, apparently. That doesn't make sense to me, but later Frazier a witness. So just not to get too much confused, Barney Riggs is dead, but we still have our main feud between the two guys. Later a witness testified about the event. Jim Miller killed him. Then Jim Miller rode 100 miles in the middle of the night in order to get an alibi. Now, I got to tell you, no matter how you feel about this, Brandon, that's commitment right there.
That is a hard ride, 100 miles at night.
Now, by 1900, him and Sally moved in Fort Wayne, where the assassin became involved in real estate and did very well financially. Even so, killing appeared to be in his blood, and his financial situation had a little impact on his choice to continue his career as a killer. At that time, there was the Great Sheep Wars were taking place with the cattlemen, and Miller was quick to hire out to kill sheepmen at $150 per job. Again, a lot of money. Killing as many as a dozen men, at the same time, numerous feuds were going on regarding fences, which got in the way of cattle herds. Miller was only more than happy to help the cattlemen by killing the farmers who fenced their land. So Killer Miller then moved to Oklahoma in 1909, where he continued doing his paid hitman jobs. Finally, Miller took out the wrong man. He and others murdered a guy named Gus Bobbitt. He used to be a state marshal. Bobbitt was fighting against the use of Indian skinning. So Brandon, I believe Indian skinning, I think this is where they would basically, like, get Native Americans drunk and then, like, take their land or their money that they were given by the U.S. government. So pretty interesting.
Like, oh, my gosh. That's terrible.
I know. But they were arrested for this because, you know, justice.
Justice.
Awareness of the lack of evidence and Miller's history of never having suffered the consequences of his actions caused a lynch mob of about 50 men. The 50 men stormed the jail, okay, where he was staying. The mob quickly overpowered the jailers and dragged the four men outside. This is getting intense.
Oh, my gosh.
So, and this is all in Oklahoma, by the way, Brandon. Of course. I think the town is called Ada, Oklahoma. ADA.
It's in Ada?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know Ada. I've been.
It's just not surprising.
It is what it is.
So the mob stormed the jail, overpowered the jailers, took the four men outside into a stable. The prisoners were bound with baling wire and ropes tossed over the rafters. Miller's cohorts were hanged first, after which the vigilantes asked him to admit to his crimes. Miller then allegedly responded, "Let the record show that I've killed 51 men." Before he died, he also asked for his black broadcloth coat to be draped around his shoulders. Then he said, "Let her rip."
Let her rip.
So he was buried in Fort Worth, Texas. You know, Brandon, there's just nothing like the Wild West, is there?
Let her rip.
That might be one of the best last quotes from a person we've read so far. We've read some pretty good ones.
Let her rip. Oh my gosh.
I feel like I'm teaching you some Oklahoma history even you didn't know.
I didn't know about this one. I will say that's pretty bad. You get what you get what you have coming for you.
At least he admitted, I guess, at the end.
Yeah, I'm not sure. 51 men may be a little high, but
well, still. He was basically an assassin.
Yeah.
Yeah, just crazy how they just say, like they say in the Outlaws, the West, it's the kind of the law is, it's what is it they say? You kind of make up the law.
Vigilante justice.
Yeah, we're the law around here, boys.
Dude, well, that's wild.
Yeah, that's the episode of Do You Know the Mob? I'm your co-host, Sam Braden.
This is Brandon Ellis.
Signing off.